Good afternoon, everyone. This is the last session of the conference, and so we're going to get started on time. Session number 74, Growing Your Parish, the Power of Giving Day. So my name is Mike Westcott. I'm the Director of Development and Planned Giving for the Diocese of Wichita. I'm going to be the moderator today. I don't have to do much except have you say the prayer and introduce just two of our five presenters today. So if you would, just join me in the prayer, either in your book or on the app. In the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry, and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so I get to moderate this session, which again is just to introduce our speakers and then let them kind of take over. At the Diocese of Wichita, we were slow in dragging our feet to be a part of I Give Catholic, and it has been a very, very rewarding process for us. So I think we're in our fourth year right now. So we're quite excited about that. So I have two people I want to introduce to you. First is Lisa Shalise. Shalise. Like shoelaces is what she told me. So just a brief about Lisa. Since January of 2023, Lisa has been the National Director of I Give Catholic, an innovative ministry that uses the best practices of stewardship and digital technology to bring the Catholic community together to inspire and celebrate generosity. Her first year in leading I Give Catholic on Giving Tuesday, which is the U.S. Catholic Church's annual day of giving, resulted in raising over $20 million for over 1,800 Catholic parishes, schools, and other ministries in over 50 dioceses. Her first priorities have been increasing shared learning opportunities, plug-and-pay play resources, and maximizing efficiency, as well as marketing and promotional efforts that benefit the entire I Give Catholic community. And I'm not going to read the rest of your bio. Okay. And yeah, Jackie Bowser is the Parish Services Manager at the Catholic Community Foundation within the Diocese of Cleveland. She also leads their We Give Catholic, which I ask her to comment on, if you don't mind.
She will.
Campaign, which aims to raise awareness and inspire generosity in support of Catholic parishes, schools, Catholic charities, and site programs, and nonprofits across Northeast Ohio. Under her leadership of We Give Catholic has raised over $3.6 million for more than 230 Catholic organizations in her first year directing it. The campaign continues to grow, and Jackie credits this success to over 400 campaign leaders she guides with the We Give Catholic via in-person and online fundraising training series. So I think you're going to love this session, learn a lot more about I Give Catholic, We Give Catholic, but the annual Catholic Giving Day. So please help me welcome them.
Thank you so much. We are so excited to be here, and we are so excited that you decided to join us for this last session. So we are. So I'm Jackie Browser. I hail from Northeast Ohio. We run We Give Catholic on Giving Tuesday. And Mike mentioned, we have over 230 Catholic organizations that join us every single Giving Tuesday. Since 2016, we've raised over $17 million. This is our ninth Giving Day, and we are really hoping for this year to raise at least $3 million. So next year when we celebrate our 10th anniversary, we can say we have raised already $20 million in 10 years for Catholic nonprofits in Northeast Ohio. So that is me. Last year we raised $3.6 million. So we have a lot of fun, a lot of organizations, and we're so happy that you guys are here.
And I am Lisa Shalacy, iGive Catholic. So iGive Catholic started in 2015 as a program of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, the Catholic Community Foundation here. It was so successful whenever our founders presented it at the ICSC conference that year, her boss, Patrick Gray, said, okay, we want to do that. So they developed a relationship where my predecessor mentored her predecessor to create their own Catholic Giving Day in Cleveland. Since then, when dioceses said, well, we want to do that too, it was decided, this is probably how I should have said it before,
yeah.
It was decided that New Orleans would start to support other dioceses while Cleveland would maintain their independent Giving Day. And so iGive Catholic in 2017 became an independent 501c3 nonprofit. I now see it as kind of a co-op model where we have a couple of national staff at the national level that we recruit our partner administrators. Right now we have about 50 dioceses, so 50 administrators. We empower and train them and prepare them to then recruit, empower, and train the organizations that participate for each of their dioceses. And iGive Catholic takes on the role of being a project manager, creating all of the templates and resources. So that's who iGive Catholic is. We're all about celebrating and inspiring and celebrating generosity. Bishop-led ministry rather than a vendor, our founder and board president Corey Founder says it all the time. We are a ministry, not a vendor, which is true. We're all about helping all of you guys experience the joy of generosity in your communities. All right.
So just to kind of let you know what will be happening, we're going to kind of give an overview about the benefits of participating in a giving day, and then we're going to hand it over to our amazing panelists, and they're going to give you some tried and true marketing tips and tricks on how to make have a successful giving day at your parish. So the benefits of participating in a giving day are pretty self-explanatory, but we're going to point out some very important details. So, of course, fundraising, money. It's unrestricted revenue. What is so fantastic when you decide to run a giving day at your parish is that you get to decide what you're going to spend the money on. Do you need a new baptismal font? Do you need a new sound system? Does your organ need to be refurbished? You get to decide. And it is all unrestricted revenue with the decision. The decision is on your lap. You get to connect with new and younger donors. You get to strengthen relationship with existing donors. And of course, there's always those prospects for planned giving. That's what I do. That is my real job at Cleveland, is I do a lot of legacy giving with parishes, and so this is a great way for pastors to get a donor list of who is a prospect for planned giving. It, of course, it gives heightened visibility because a giving day increases donations because there is a lot of excitement. Lisa and I are cheerleaders for our campaigns, and you and our parishes, each parish has to have a cheerleader. And that is not the pastor, except in one instance, or I'm sorry. The pastor is the cheerleader. However, the pastor is not the team captain or the head coach. And we're going to talk about that on why, they will be the face of the campaign. So we're your cheerleaders and the pastor is the cheerleader. It is also low-cost fundraising. If you have host a gala or a live auction, I mean, sometimes it can cost $20,000, $30,000 just to host the event. With a giving day, it is so much less, and that is something to think about because you can still have in-person events that are associated with your giving day, so you're not missing that in-person connection of a gala or an auction. But it's a much lower cost for fundraising. And there are so many opportunities for community engagement. And we will talk about that more in just a little bit. So why join a Giving Day community? So as mentioned, we have one in Cleveland, We Give Catholic, and then there's I Give Catholic that diocese can join. But any Giving Day community increases visibility and awareness. And you have a broad marketing push coming from the Giving Day platform and Giving Day hosts that helps you get more attention. So right there is a great one. You're not doing all the legwork. Community engagement, once again, a lot of times Giving Days are either geographical, where it'll be geographical. I don't need to give an example. Or it'll focus on a cause. So ours is our Catholic faith. And that is really important because you feel like you're part of something bigger. And you're connecting and learning from other fundraisers. So what Lisa and I do is we try very hard to give our parishes a lot of plug-and-play resources to make it so easy on you. We do all the legwork, most of the legwork, so you can focus on your relationships and your donor connections. And, of course, once again, because ours is faith-based, you're sharing the mission of the church. It's a bigger picture. You're able to be part of a giving day if you were to participate in I Give Catholic, and it's a bigger picture. And it's truly, truly amazing how you can promote stewardship when you're working together as a team, and it's really exciting, and you have a giving day, and everybody is ready and excited to raise money.
So with that, we'll go ahead and start letting our panelists start talking to us about the successes that they have achieved and what they've learned over the years, and share that with you. I Give Catholic. I stole this term from a colleague, and I now push it hard. Hashtag holy plagiarism. If you did something smart, I want to steal it and do it also and make it work for me. So this is kind of part of that shared learning that I really love. It's an opportunity to ICSC. So here's that opportunity here. Father Robert Cooper. I was so excited to see that Father Cooper was on the registration list for ICSC when we were looking for our panelists, because Father Robert Cooper has been a pastor of three different parishes who have participated in I Give Catholic since it started in 2015. Mary Queen of Peace is where he is right now, and last year they raised $73,500 on I Give Catholic and Giving Tuesday. But before that, he was at Divine Mercy Parish in Kenner, where in the first year he was there, they raised $5,000. But he was smart, applied some strategies with his team, and then they got to a high of $142,000 in 2021. But before that, he was at St. Benilde Catholic Church and School in Metairie, and they really set the bar the very first year of I Give Catholic in 2015. And unfortunately, I don't have the records from back then when it was an archdiocese program, but I think we talked about you thought you raised about $35,000, $36,000. But whenever there were other parishes who were hesitant to do I Give Catholic and they saw what St. Benilde did, they said, well, maybe we can try it. So it was, I'm so grateful to have him here because he really did was a trendsetter for I Give Catholic. So we're so grateful for you to be here, Father Cooper.
Thank you.
All right. So you told me when I was having a conversation with you a couple weeks ago, that I Give Catholic is a team sport. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It is. And so, you know, in many ways for it to truly be successful, the pastor has to be the cheerleader. The pastor has to be involved. That doesn't mean the pastor is going to know how to work the program. I don't know how to work the technology. I don't know all the inputs, but I need to rally the troops. And doing this in three parishes, that was one of the biggest things you can see is that you've got to be – now, if you ever look at any of my social media, you'll see me in all sorts of costumes and different things, depending upon what's going on. But it is, what can we do for the parish? And how are we going to do this together? And I remember when the first packet came out in 2015, like most pastors, you get this on your desk, and it's like one more thing to do. And so I'm just reading it and saying, you know what? Maybe we can do something with this. This is very intriguing. And so, but you have to be able to get the buy-in of your staff, your key volunteers or ministry leaders, your stewardship counselor team, whoever it is that's going to be working with you, to be able to do this together. And then, as I like to say, you want to be able to ignite some really holy enthusiasm in the parish. Competition is good. Fun competition is healthy. And you really want to, you know, that's how we got started at St. Benilde. And one of the things to remember is that, you know, doing this in three different parishes, it's looked very different because of the charisms of the community, and the needs of the community. And so you can formulate this into any way you want. For St. Benilde, when we started, it was a school primarily focused fundraiser. It still is a school primary focus fundraiser today. Even though I've been gone this many years, it still continued that. And they used it as a way to kick off. They wanted to start doing annual funds. And, you know, for at least in my, from my perspective here in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, our high schools do great at annual funds. Our elementary schools, not so great. And so they wanted to kickstart it. I Give Catholic came along, and so we kickstarted it to the annual fund. I don't know what they did this year, over 100, 100.
I think it was 140.
140,000 this year they did in that one day. But that was the charism. That was what was needed there. Going to Divine Mercy was a different parish, a different community. But you've got to find your hook. What is of interest to your people? What is of interest to your community? Because that's what they're going to give to. At St. Benilde, it was the school. You know, at Divine Mercy, one of the first years it went big, it was
actually... We have some slides for that.
Oh, you have some slides from that.
Yeah. Can I, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Just because we can't see the slides in front of us.
Yes.
But before we even go to, because we have some slides, go back one, Jackie. You decided it was a parish and school, and you had the opportunity to have two separate campaigns, but you've never done that, have you?
No.
Why?
So for me, it was like, we should not be competing. Why is the parish and the school competing against one another? So it's a decision of the parish community. I mean, is this a school that we're all behind that? Is it a parish that we're all behind that? There are some times where it can overlap a bit. It has at Mary Queen of Peace, where there have been some things for the school and some things for the parish. But we've never run two separate campaigns. I've never been in a parish personally as pastor where, you know, Mary Queen of Peace Parish and Mary Queen of Peace School is each running their own campaign. Why? Because we're shooting each other in the foot.
And this graphic up here, this is from Divine Mercy, the second church in his journey, in his I Give Catholic journey, where they set up support areas. In I Give Catholic, you could set up support areas where you guys set up competitions by class, by grade, and they had some incentives and win a party or something.
You could win a party. They could wear pajamas to school one day. I mean, there was all sorts of things. I mean, these are kids. But we wanted to make sure that the parish and school was united. And so the children love some healthy competition. And so we set it up so that every grade level, their giving was tracked. And so the winning classes, there was a first, second, and third place prize that the class could win as a whole so that the kids were involved in the mission. And that's so important, whether it's the children, whether it's the parishioners in the pews, or whether it's just the general community and getting the word out of what you're supporting or what that charism is that you're trying to foster.
So then the next slide, where this is also at Divine Mercy, but one year you guys devoted your efforts on, you know, rebuilding your ministries. And you talked about how the I Give Catholic campaigns have been more about money. It's really about, it's been also about really engaging your community. So can you talk to us a little bit about this experience this year?
So this particular experience, we decided to sort of expand the I Give Catholic platform. Because we wanted to make sure that people could share not only their financial resources, but also their time and their talents. And so we sort of built our own little, very simple module, through our website where people could then actually also pledge their time. They could pledge their talents. And so while it was not calculated on the official platform, it was a way to increase a broader understanding of stewardship and getting people involved in growing the ministries of the parish. So there are very unique ways in which you can use, I Give Catholic for a variety of things depending upon what you're trying to focus on and what you're trying to target. And so, that was this opportunities to grow. And this was, one of our, I think this might have been my second year. The first year, you know, the first year you become pastor, there's a lot of things to do. And so this is the second year. But the second year, we decided that, we were going to step out of ourselves and we were going to raise all of our money, for a third party mission. So none of the money was going to stay at Divine Mercy. And so my dear friends, Deacon Larry and Andy Oney, are in charge of Hope and Purpose Ministries. And so they have a school that they founded in Africa. And so we partnered with them. And so we decided that all the money that we were going to raise, was going to go to the school. And that provided so much fruit. not just for the ministry that we helped in Africa. It did a lot of good for them. In fact, it became a very big blessing for them because certainly, you know, this is coming into COVID and all of that situation. And so they probably would have had to close the school if it wasn't for this. But even more for the community at Divine Mercy, this particular fundraiser brought people together because they saw how much they could do when they all rallied together for a single cause. And the parish had no experience of that before in the past, of really rallying together, going outside of themselves, and it really blessed the parish because then more people stepped up for other roles in ministry, and you could actually see an increase in offertory coming out of this campaign when all this money was going to the missions.
And because you probably can't see this behind Ryan's lovely head, but when they had $5,000 they raised the previous year, this campaign had a goal of $60,000, and they raised over $70,000 to go to Uganda. And how beautiful is that? And then the next year, next slide, they had to focus on themselves.
Yes.
And raised $142,000. You want to talk about this campaign a little
bit? So this is the Restored Service Restored campaign. This was following directly after Hurricane Ida. And so Divine Mercy is in Kenner. So Kenner got a pretty big whopping from Ida in that area. And so, you know, a lot of iGive Catholic is certainly the hook. It's certainly the marketing of, you know, so it is the service restored. We have to restore, you know, our ministries. We have to store the good work that we're doing. And so, you know, something as, you know, tragic as Ida and all the things and heartaches that it brought, was also a means for people to bring, to receive healing, and to come together, to restore the church, its buildings, its ministries, to where they were before, because that was the pressing need that was on individuals' minds. And so that's why picking whatever you're doing is so important. Whether it's a project, whether it's a mission, whether it's a ministry, I don't recommend just saying we're going to raise money for the church. Well, that's wonderful, but yeah, I'm not excited about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just you've got to have. I mean, if it's your organ fund, if we're doing a church renovation, if it's because we have these three ministries because we're going to invest in families and youth, and we're going to do these three things, but we have to raise this much money in order to do that. That's how you get people excited, because they know where the money is going, and it's not just in a general fund to pay the electric bill. While the electric bill is important, people are not excited about that.
So, Father Cooper, we have here that this year you guys chose four separate
Yes.
projects for Mary Queen of Peace. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you chose these four and your congregation's response to it?
So we decided that we wanted to certainly merge the church and the school. And so in order to do that, we wanted to have projects on both sides that were going to engage and excite individuals. And so, you know, that's how we came up with some of the things that needed to be done or needed to be taken care of. You know, the fun and games, that $40,000 was for an interactive playground. I don't know if you've ever seen an interactive playground. They call it the Lou. I was going to say the Wii. They call it the Lou. They call it the Lou. It's not a restroom. They call it the Lou. But it's a wonderful interactive playground. The kids just love it. And so it was to get them excited about it. So there was something there, you know, for them. Sister Marina, has since passed away, but she had a long-standing, time of service in the community. So people had a connection to Sister, and wanted to see, some things done in her memory. And we really had focused at that time that our mission as a parish, we were going to focus on mission to youth. And so in order to do that, we knew that we needed some, resources. And so there is you may be familiar with a company called Ablaze. Ablaze is a coaching ministry that primarily focuses on high school youth ministry. And so we had to raise about $25,000, to really get this seed money underway. But we're also in a parish that has a lot of young families. And so, you know, it's a very family-oriented parish, and a parish where people are very dedicated to the young people. And so they want to see things done. And so it's like, okay, we need to pick our projects based upon our priorities. And by seeing what those priorities are, that's where people get excited.
And Father, just one thing real quick. I just want to point out about his choice for these four projects, how amazing it is. And just to reiterate, how he tapped into every single different group, large group of people, his families, his schools, school families, his religious education, everybody coming to Sunday or daily mass, and then pulling at the heartstrings of telling a beautiful, beautiful story about Sister. So this is a fantastic example. If you don't pick one project that covers all of your large groups of donors, this is a great way to go.
And I would love for you to share about the surprise that you got a few weeks ago in response to, like, the elevation of this ablaze. What happened to – I would love for you to share about how I Give Catholic or a Giving Day campaign can have dividends long after the Giving Day.
Oh, so sure. So, I mean, so we partnered with ablaze, and because of that partnership, things fell into place, coaching fell into place, and – you know, this past Sunday, we had over 150 teenagers on our campus, which is just amazing, you know, particularly here in New Orleans, outside of a Catholic high school, you know, just to see the fruits of that.
And then one of your parishioners stepped up and said, how can I help you to continue to build this ablaze
and
program?
So they did, and so the individual, you know, one of those individuals, you know, I don't want to be known. I just want to help. And you never know what somebody says. I said, well, you know, we need to redo the youth room. You know, it was redone a few years ago, but we really want to make this, you know, we really want to launch this for all these kids. You know, and so he said to me, well, how much are you thinking? I said, well, I mean, construction's not cheap today. I mean, it's not we're not a building, but, you know, it's probably going to be about $25,000 just to do floors and, you know, walls, and then probably another $20,000 for AV stuff. And he said, okay. He said, let me send you a check. I said, okay. And you don't know what you're going to get. And so I opened the envelope, and the check was there for $25,000. Just to continue that, with a note from him saying that, once the renovations are done, I'd like to look at, doing the AV project, which has already been quoted out at another $20,000. And then he said, I'm really interested in, looking at supporting the operating budget, of this. And I said, you know, I mean, we might be looking at like $30,000 to $35,000. He said, well, let's see what we can make happen. And so there are extensive dividends that can come from a giving day outside of the actual 24-hour period or even the pre-giving time period, because people get excited because it helps to promote the mission.
Thank you, Father Cooper. And now we're going to switch over to Karen Baker, who is Father Cooper's administrator. Next slide. So Karen has also participated in I Give Catholic since 2015. She has run all of the Mary Queen of Peace Church campaigns since 2015. But until 2023, it was the church by itself and not with the school. When we talked, you talked about how everybody's gotten used to you sending lots of fun email updates all day on Giving Tuesday. Lots of emails. And then she loves donor prizes, that you collect donor prizes to give out. Yep. They had raised between $15,000 and $27,000 in recent years for their school for their church campaign. And then last year when they merged, raised almost $74,000. So I asked her, what changed? What do you think attributed to that? And you said these three things. So do you want to share a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, those things, yeah, mostly the challenge from Father Cooper, because when I said, I love doing I Give Catholic. It's my favorite day of the year, as I told Lisa. Because I like a good challenge. But when I told Father Cooper, you know, I want to do I Give Catholic, we have to think of these projects. And he said, well, you know, I'm used to raising like $100,000. So I don't know. I don't think you can do that. So I'm like, well, I think I can do that. But we didn't quite make it. But we made a lot more than you thought, I think. So it's just a fun day. But I think, yeah, having a challenge. And then we promoted the challenge. We did a little fun video about that. We did was going to be a 12-hour live stream, but it started at 7 a.m. It ended up going to midnight because this couple came and helped us out, and they didn't want to leave. I had people just coming in. So, but that was fun. We made more money all the way to midnight. We had donations rolling in all day, which was fun because we kept having prizes every hour. I had an email every 3 hours probably, just with fun little updates and happy hour emails or dinner time, late night challenges. So all through the day, we had different ideas to help people get engaged and to give all day long. And with our live stream, we hadn't done that before, to just be on. I had guests all through the day for different things we would talk about. And we ended up challenging the youth minister, somebody, to wear, what did he, if we raised a certain, oh, you'd wear a scuba suit if we made a certain amount of money that hour. Well, the last 5 minutes before the hour was up, somebody just threw in $5,000, and he had to wear his scuba suit to vacation Bible school. So it all worked out. But, yeah, this is some of our live stream pictures. We had, it was a lot of fun.
And why I chose this particular screenshot from their live stream is, look at the chat box over there.
This is
late night. I mean, this is the end of the day. But they're making jokes, and parishioners are actually engaging with one another through your live stream.
On YouTube, yep.
Yeah. And this was your first year doing it, so you learned a little bit about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you, 12 hours.
But it was more than 12, longer. And it ended up being
So how did you find your guests to populate all that time?
I just thought about, well, first the different projects we were doing. So I had someone talk about the church cameras that we wanted to add and why that would be great for our live streams. We had our youth minister came to talk about Ablaze. And a couple of other people, one of our former youth ministers who's hilarious, so she was fun, talking about the importance of our youth and our mission to youth. We had some of our Hispanic community talked about Sister Marina, our Teresian sister who passed away, and how she was such a special person in our parish, and how that really tugged at a lot. Actually, it was so sweet because Elizabeth, our Hispanic community kind of liaison, she brought in all this money that she collected from the Hispanic community. It was just, you know, cash and the envelopes, but it meant so much that was for Sister Marina in her memory. So I had her on, we had some friends for the school talking.
And your former pastor?
Oh, my former pastor. Yeah, my former pastor is now auxiliary bishop in Atlanta, Father John Tran, Bishop John. I said, you have time to talk on our live stream? So I don't know how he fitted in his schedule. It was like 15 minutes. He did call, and we had a conversation. So we challenged him. He was going to give us, I forgot how much, per donor. So late night, I would say, like, if we have however many donors we have between, say, 7 and 9 p.m., he would give $20 per donor. And then, of course, Father Cooper was there. He said, and you have to do that, too, because I know your parents, and I will call them. So that was a fun challenge, and people, like, you know, they love. So that's how we got all through the day, just consistent donors coming in. I think we had 200 and something donors.
Can you go to the next slide? So it'll show on here. Yeah, 202 donors, because this is their page. And I wanted to point out some of the things that they did well on their page. So first of all, setting a goal that is achievable. Now, they didn't quite get there.
No.
But you know what? With this late gift, it kind of did, just after the fact. But it's also hard to tell when you're trying to grow this much. But setting a goal that's achievable that everybody can root towards. So that's good, to show progress towards the goal. They also set, you know, you found these cute little graphics, I guess, you know, but to set suggested, giving amounts that are above the minimum. The minimum to give on I Give Catholic is $10, I think the same on We Give Catholic. But you don't want to suggest $10. Let them be cheap and go down to $10, but whatever. Suggesting donations at a higher level, and then they also have, you know, choose your own amount. But here's that video. And one thing I want to point out, and I made sure in all of the screenshots, I had Father Cooper. You know, Father Cooper was in all of those videos. He was in the two campaign videos, and he was in the live stream. Again, that goes back to that. Pastor as a cheerleader has such a big impact on your campaign. You guys did a really great job. I'm excited to see, you know, the next, you know, next iteration from Mary Queen of Peace.
Fun. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you pass it on to Ryan, Ryan Beasley here is with the Christ the King, a cathedral in Atlanta. And, they have had a successful track record over the years. That's kind of gone up and down a little bit, but they've chosen very specific projects. And I've noticed that the images have been really just the grabbing and engaging. I talked to him about that. Last year, they raised $76,000 on Giving Tuesday for their ADA billing improvements on door opening. They've had different other themes that are kind of listed here. What I really want to point out is that Ryan took this job 2 weeks before Giving Tuesday, and they had a different project that they were planning to fundraise for. So, Ryan, can you talk to us about that time?
I need to stand. I can't talk when I sit.
He's also a former meteorologist.
Yeah, I like. I'm not Ron Burgundy. I don't know what to do with my hands. So, you know. I'm from the Cathedral of Christ the King. As Lisa mentioned, I'm a former meteorologist. I made this job transition for my family. I was selfish for 12 and a half years following my dream, and then my family needed me, and I needed to be with my family. So my childhood priest, Monsignor Frank, opened this door for me. And it's the way I look at it is I get to thank him for everything he's done for me by coming to work for him. It's kind of twisted and weird, but that's how I view it is, this is a great opportunity to thank him and, work for him and continue, the great work that he does and the cathedral does. But when I started literally day one, I walked into a meeting and they said, all right, I give Catholic, it's coming up in 2 weeks. Here's our topic. What do you think? Sure. That sounds good. I was like, my wife is a speech pathologist. I'm like, I can ask her about sensory rooms and we're going to raise it for, all this money for the school. And then someone goes, well, why are we going to ask people at the cathedral to help donate for something at the school? Aren't we kind of shooting ourselves in the foot as far as canceling off people who aren't invested in the school and only invested in the cathedral? So then, my boss was like, well, we're looking at doing ADA doors for our massive cathedral doors. Maybe we brainstorm on that idea and weigh some pros and cons. So the big thing, the first video I watched, I was trying to play catch up with I Give Catholic, and I was watching all these tutorials and reaching out to people and just, again, a fire hose of information. Specific, achievable, and visible. Okay? A preschool sensory room. That is specific. It's achievable and it's visible, but it's achievable only for those who want to invest in it. ADA doors. To a cathedral. You're in a wheelchair. Can you open up the doors to get into the cathedral? No. You're a mother of three, like my wife. Got kids hanging all over you, diaper bags, trying to get into the cathedral. Well, you gotta kick the door open and hold it in and, you know, do one of those moves just to get to church. Or you just push a button and the door opens for you. And our offertory campaign was come to the table. So we use that to help us with open doors and make it available for everyone to come to the table. So we wanted to open our doors so everyone can come to the table. We blended our offertory campaign and our I Give Catholic campaign all in one, to really just, again, get that theme across. If you have a theme, it's going to work. But being specific is really, really, really important. So here's some imagery that our director of communication used. And at first, we were thinking about breaking it up into dollar amounts like you saw on their slides of $50, $100, $200, where it was someone, with a cane and someone that was in a wheelchair and someone that was a mother of multiple children trying to get into the cathedral. And we're like, well, how do you put a price tag on someone in a wheelchair versus a mother of three? That doesn't look good. So we went back to the drawing board and we were like, wheelchairs trying to enter a cathedral. Empty chairs. We are a church. We're not supposed to leave anyone out. We're not supposed to make anyone feel that they're different than anyone else. You should have an equal opportunity to enter our doors no matter what your situation is. So our director of communication was like, how about this? And the room went silent and was like, that's it. That is so powerful. It on so many different levels, and we just ran with it. And some of these images really jumped off the page for some of our donors.
And what will be hard for you to read because of small text, but is that he talks about the different kinds of people who would have mobility issues, like the mom with a baby in one arm, senior adults in walkers, parishioners rely on wheelchairs, anyone with mobility issues. So, like, I think that was a real – you have the wheelchair, and then you – to catch your attention, and then it explains about how this applies to your entire community. And then, so next slide, this goes to more to, this is your pastor, this is your Monsignor, and he was on all of your communications, so is he a cheerleader for you guys?
Very big cheerleader. Monsignor Frank is the biggest cheerleader that I know in regard to supporting something he believes in, and he is a fundraising genius. That man can raise money like no one else. So we do, we send out a weekly email with Monsignor's face saying, you know, here's what's happening. So on I Give Catholic, or Giving Tuesday.
Let's pause and say you did not take advantage of the advanced giving period at all.
No.
He did the 24-hour giving where they only pushed it on Giving Tuesday.
Our portal opened on Thanksgiving, I believe, and we didn't push anything. It was kind of a silent phase, and I believe we only had about a $2,000 worth of donations before giving to, before Tuesday. And on Tuesday, if anyone is interested, well, let me just real quick, anyone who hasn't done I Give Catholic yet. Okay. I would have raised my hand last year too. So I'm brand new at this as well. It can be done. And there are plenty of avenues and ways that we can help you. And if you feel like this is overwhelming, I talked to somebody earlier that said, we did it 1 year, we didn't reach our goal, and now we're not allowed to do it again. It's okay if you don't reach your goal if you pick a great topic, a great cause to raise money, especially for us, it was our cathedral. We had the funds to pay for this project, but we said, let's join a great cause. Let's be a part of Giving Tuesday and see who wants to be a part of this project. And we started our goal at 50,000, then we raised it to 60, then we raised it to 70. Again, achievable. We set it at an achievable amount, and then we just kept blowing past it and blowing past it and blowing past it. A matching gift, what came in for $30,000, and that really helped us skyrocket our statistics. I'm not going to bore you with the stats, but if you're interested on what hours we had the most people donating, the hours that had the highest, I literally broke it down hour by hour, minute by minute, which was helpful from the program from I Give Catholic as well. But I made sure that I analyzed that so next year when we send out our targeted emails, that it lines up with the results that we got from this past year. I'm very result oriented. I'm very I'm not forecasting 90 degrees until we hit 90 degrees. I'm not forecasting rain in a drought until it rains. Yeah. So I take that same mindset into fundraising of, let's make sure that we can, reach our goal.
So this is interesting. You were at 25,000 and then your donor came in and said, okay, look, if you can cross that, you get $5,000 more. If you can cross that $30,000 boundary, I'll release $30,000. And you see that they met and then exceeded that because matches are so powerful. In I Give Catholic Analytics, when we look at it each year, the organizations who apply matches to their campaigns raise on average 10 times more than organizations who don't use matches. Because a donor sees that and they say, my dollar's going twice as far because this other donor is going to stretch it for me. Not only that, but the major donor themselves, even if this person chose to be anonymous, a lot of them do, it's more ROI for them because they see their gift inspiring more generosity. So matches are really great tools, both to cultivate your existing major donors, to expand their ROI on their gifts, as well as to invite and encourage your regular everyday donors to step up and make a gift. And I've seen from some other data and research that a donor will come to your site with an idea in mind of what they're going to give that may be influenced by your suggested donor amounts, your donation amounts, what you have, the storytelling you have on your page, and the match. They'll typically give a higher amount because of the match because they think it's going to go farther. So those matches can make a really big difference.
Yeah, and forward thinking for this year, I'm planning ahead, and I'm already working towards some match donations for our project this year.
And they don't have to be $30,000.
No.
I mean, really, I say if you know you're going to get a gift of five figures or higher, so $1,000 gift, or you get a check in the mail, call that donor and thank them and say, would you mind if we hold on to this and if there's a lag in energy in the campaign to activate a match challenge to reinvigorate our energy from our donors? And every time that donor is going to be excited and say, yes, please. So you can do, and I learned that from St. Benilde, from Tom Huck at St. Benilde, that they do that. They do a dynamic match. So you can add those at any point in your campaign up till Giving Tuesday. So you can hold it in your back pocket and throw it in there to reinvigorate your energy. Send the email around that says, oh, we've got this new match challenge. Will you help us reach it and release these dollars? One thing I also want to give kudos to Ryan on, next slide, is that once they okay, look at this. Look how powerful this is. This is a post from Giving Tuesday, from when they were posting on the day. And it starts with, it hurts to be left out with an empty wheelchair in front of those doors. So powerful imagery. All these slides are also downloadable on Hova, the app. So the powerful, the language he's telling you now, he put out in his social media campaign. Click. And so then once they got it, this is the part that a lot of organizations don't do, and I beg them to show the impact. They recorded a video of him clicking every one of those door buttons, opening the doors in May once they had them installed. And what I really love is that, you know, so he goes through the doors and have, makes these jokes and carries around a baby doll to pretend he's
with a diaper bag.
Yeah. So click. There was this 88-year-old parishioner who celebrated this on their social media page. Like, that just amazes me that she's 88 years old and putting a comment on their page. Yeah. And it made me so excited and happy to see that. Imagine for their parishioners to see, oh, I did that. I was a part of that. Even if your gift was $10, right, you were a part of helping this 88-year-old woman come to church. How beautiful. Great job. Yeah. I'm trying to think what was next on there. I think we...
I just a couple questions here. If you don't mind, pass the mic over, whoever wants to answer. So first question, for the three of you, what is your favorite part of a Giving Day campaign?
Do you guys want to decide which answers here? Cause we are, so that you guys can have some energy. Favorite part of a Giving Day campaign? Anybody?
Father Cooper. I think my favorite part actually was the live stream. I think it was. We just had so much fun. And it just brought so many people together. And so it goes back to remembering that there is a way that this does build community. Just be creative. That was, and I think because of the live stream, you can really, go into my second component, which is I tend to be a little competitive in nature. And so it's the competition. It's the competition. You know, you're able to say, look what Saint so-and-so is doing. I need my people, to step up, you know, and people just, they just like that. And so, I mean, I enjoyed that. It's certainly a lot of pieces coming together, but, it really is a way to build a community and achieve the goal that you have set.
Can I say something real quick? I mean, I think the same thing. It's just, and that's why I say it's my favorite day, because it's like the parish is coming together, and we feel like it's just this beautiful thing. It's not even, and I always say it's not so much about the dollars, which it is, but it's about the donors. I always try to emphasize how many people are we getting to donate, not just how much money, but it always turns out, you know, we do well with the funds, but it's a lot of people. We've never had 200 donors before, but it was just great to see that and to feel that community, like Father Cooper said, just that everyone's in this together. It's a beautiful thing.
And real quick, for your live stream, did you have an outside company help you, or did you do
We wish.
Okay, so if...
Maybe next time. No.
So if you're a parish thinking about possibly doing a live stream, you just do it with your cell phone.
Yes.
But you didn't use an outside company.
No, I just used my laptop. I did buy a high-quality microphone that my son, the IT guy, told me to get, and the camera. But it was really on my laptop. But the microphone was good. So we had good sound, and we had an extra camera. But we didn't have anything fancy. Maybe we have plans for this year. We have a new content creation lab in the school.
And Karen's email address is on the slide. So if you download the slides, you can, you know, email her and bug her and ask her a little bit more details what she's learned.
But even in all the parishes that I've been to, nothing has been done by an outside firm. Nothing has been done by an outside PR firm or consult. I mean, you know, you're talking about videos that, our in-house people are making or parishioners are making. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of investment in dollars. It just takes a lot of creativity, a lot of fun, and just, just ensure that you're decisive, in picking a project, a cause, an initiative, whatever you're funding, that your people are going to rally behind. And then they're not going to care when the live stream goes, quiet for 5 minutes because you're trying to figure out the mic. You know, sometimes you're able to use that kind of stuff just to get more money. I mean, one time at Divine Mercy, I think, they saw a picture of it. Instead of having the bell, you know, like the old telethons, every time somebody gave a donation, they'd ring a bell. So we got one of those rubber chickens. And so the rubber chicken, would go off. And so every time they knew the rubber chicken, we got another donation. And you're able to do that with live stream. I mean, so, some of it's just to fill time. But some of it is just having good fun.
Well, thank you so much. Did you have something, Dan?
I was going to say, in the interest of time, how about Ryan answers the question number two?
Perfect. So what tips would you give a parish just getting started, Ryan?
Don't be afraid. Trust. And your topic, there's a lot of pressure, I think, in picking the right topic. But if you think of the three things of specific, visible, and achievable, and you ask a room of just a couple of people or email it out to your staff and say, hey, does this check all three of the boxes? And that's going to be your topic. And just run with it. We've done everything from, for our cathedral, for the cathedral and the school to, charitable donations that, you know, come to our cathedral or just in the Atlanta area. All of them work and all of them appreciate whatever we raise. Even if, again, that story today just made me be like, what? You didn't hit your goal, so you can't do it again? That's not the point. Like, the point is this is one day. You have one day to step up for a cause. And what's unfortunate is if you don't look at your email on that one day, you're traveling on that one day, you're busy that one day, it can hurt your campaign. So we put, I think, one too many eggs in the basket to rely on just a one-day campaign. So we might restructure it in the future. But Lisa, I'm sure can add of, it's not just one day. You can, you know, you can advertise it for 2 weeks.
So, right? Ours starts 10 days. Advance giving starts 10 days 10 before, days. Okay. Giving Tuesday. And can you go to number three? So Ryan, what yes. are you going to try this year to grow your campaign? Are you going to start promoting it in yeah. advance giving time right. and get some momentum before the giving day?
Well, now that I've been there for almost a year versus right out of the gate in a fire hose, yes, we actually had a meeting right before I came to the conference about our topic. We are going to raise money for our music department. And then we have a donor who wants to donate a piano. So it's going to be a kind of a buy one, get one free, kind of mentality with the piano. So we'll raise enough for a grand piano. And then once we hit that goal of $20,000 for a grand piano, the donor is going to match that gift. So $20,000 towards one piano gets us two pianos. And then an organ continuo, I think is what it's called or something like that. I don't know. It's a portable organ. I didn't know it existed. It's on wheels. That's what our music department wants. So and that's going to be about $30,000. So we're going to try and raise money for that. And then our choir robes, I guess, are 45 years old. So they want new robes as well. And we're going to budget $10,000 for that.
But so I'm really looking forward to the tagline on this because all of the musical part. Yes. Because looking at time, I want to look at the last slide here with some kind of like, all right, so next steps, what from here? So If you are a parish in a diocese that partners with iGive Catholic, you can participate for free. Registration is open now through November 1st. This is the link to go see if your diocese partners with iGive Catholic. If your diocese is not a partner, if you have a school, you can participate through catholiceducation.igivecatholic.org for a $250 annual fee, and our program manager will support you instead of your diocesan administrator. If you don't have a school, but maybe you have a ministry that is supported by your church, comes out of your church, you can sign up under national ministries. Otherwise, if you're just a parish, unfortunately, you can't participate in iGive Catholic outside of your diocese. So go talk to your diocese stewardship office and ask them to contact me to talk about adding iGive Catholic, becoming a partner. I don't think there's too many Nebraskans here, but they now have a giving day, Nebraska Catholic Day of Giving. It was May 1st this year, was the first day. We hosted on our second platform, and they raised over $1 million. So if you are in Nebraska, you can participate for free in a Catholic Giving Day that's in May. Or even still, if you don't have a Catholic Giving Day you can participate in, find out if you have a community regional Giving Day and participate in that. I don't see Catholic churches very often participating in a community regional Giving Day, but it doesn't mean you can't unless you can't, which that's why Nebraska was created, because the Omaha Regional Giving Day doesn't allow churches or schools. Whatever, that's another topic. But if you are eligible, absolutely, try your local regional Giving Day. You'll have to do a little bit of Catholic translation. You've got more competition among organizations, many, many, many more organizations are going to be on that Giving Day, but it's a good place to start. So these are next steps. And the last slide is questions. And because we're pretty much run out of time, our email addresses are here. I think their contact information, I think we might have had it on their slides. But if you have any questions right now, we'll take them and we'll stick around as long as y'all have questions.
Hi, I was just wondering, when you raised over $100,000, how large of a parish was that? How many families?
I'm going to say that would have probably been the first time St. Benil would have been my smallest parish. So at the time, I would say maybe 1,000 families.
So I've done for 5 years now. Last year, we've been doing it mostly for the parish. We've only done the parish, and we've had some kickback from the school. But last year, we did Running on a Prayer. Our cooling system at the church died, $300,000, which is actually going to be $500,000. But we raised $140,000, but I didn't do any of this live stuff. So I'm really excited about, like, let's go live and see what we can do. But it was our most successful, and we had $190,000. But also regarding matching gift challenges, I tried that for our tuition assistance fund that I do in the spring. And I had a couple donors like, I'm going to give this anyway, so no, it's now, once they've given it, they said, we're giving it, so you can't really use it as a challenge. So just maybe reach your large donors that you think you know are going to give prior to them giving, so that it's the challenge match is asked before they actually drop the donation, because some of them felt like I was not being Christian by, like, already getting the money and then saying, can I match it as a challenge?
Absolutely consider. So we are recommending with iGive Catholic that you include donor advised fund language and IRA QCD language in your emails and communications to remind those donors who have access to those funds to consider them when making their gifts. And if you know that there's a gift coming in that's five figures or larger, you can call them in advance and ask them, hey, can we apply this towards, so that it can, you know, apply if you know that you have someone coming. So you're right. And then if the check comes in, because usually it's going to be a check, you don't want online transaction fees on a $5,000 gift, right? So you want it to be a check anyway. Definitely call the donor, and we need to recognize donor preference, right? But so if they say, no, this is weird, great, thank you so much. Moving on.
I was shocked that they said that to me, but I was like, okay.
Now you know.
Thanks for your $10,000.
And then, wait, but then the follow-up can be, what about next year?
Yeah. Any other questions?
So when you did your campaign for both school and church, you advertised on both social medias, I assume?
Yes. So both websites had the link, both social medias had the link. If you're doing church and school, it's great. I don't know exactly what that feature's called, where they set up the
Support areas.
Support areas.
Right.
Where you can actually set up every classroom as a support area, and then really get the kids' buy-in. Because once you have their buy-in, you're going to get the parents' buy-in, because they're actually having their own little contest even apart from the whole big giving day. But yes, if you're going to bring it together, all social media accounts, you know, all, websites, everything should be promoting, you know, the same message. But from my personal experience, I would not run a school campaign and a parish campaign at the same time.
If you want to lean into competition, you can set up your classes. It can be alumni classes or current classes as peer-to-peer fundraisers. And then that shows up on your homepage as a leaderboard, peer-to-peer leaderboard. So then they see where they stand live through the campaign. The support areas don't. It's just these tiles where they can, it's a little bit more, a little bit gentler, less competition, but a donor preference and area. And each one of those, whether it's a support area or a peer-to-peer page, has its own unique URL. So the class teacher can send to all of the parents of that class their URL, so they're giving to that page rather than the homepage. Or if they go to the homepage, they can find that class. But they will have their own unique URL for either of those.
Okay, we are out of time. Please join me in thanking our panelists and our moderators. Please
specific, visible, and achievable.
Please fill out your surveys.
Come on.
Yes, please fill out your surveys. It would mean so much to us.